Okay, let's chat about Jersey Shore. So the show premiered in 2009. So I would have been in grade 11 and 12, I guess going into, it would have been, I graduated in 2010. So it would have been, I guess, my grade 12 year. Because it premiered in the winter. It was obviously a group of friends in a share house in Seaside Heights, New Jersey, where it basically was just watching them for like a summer where they would work at the shore and go out and party. It like was life changing. Like it truly, I feel like, changed the trajectory of a lot of modern television. Did you watch Jersey Shore from the jump?
Of course. So I graduated high school in 2009. So I guess I was, if it premiered in the winter, then I would have been in like first year university, I guess. But I just have such a clear memory because it would come out on Thursdays. And obviously, like, I was away at university and I was living in dorms and, you know, they would have those like common rooms on every floor with TVs and couches and whatever. And we would choose who out of my friends, like which residence we were going to go to and pre-drink before Thirsty Thursday at the bar and watch Jersey Shore. Like, can you imagine the magic of pre-drinking while watching Jersey Shore? Like, nothing is better. Nothing gets you hyped for the bar when you are like 19 and 20, like watching that. It was so iconic. And I'm not joking when I say it changed my life.
No, I know. I feel the same way. Because I remember, because then I would have gone to university like 2010, starting in that September. We would do the exact same thing, which I don't think people understand how wild it is for, I would say, like 40 to 60 people to cram into like a 20-person room to watch cable TV when you were, like 18 and 19. It was almost so universal. I think the show that I would compare it to before that was like an American Idol or Survivor in 2000, 2001. Where it was like almost ubiquitous, where it's like you could go up to anyone and be like, oh my God, did you watch the episode last night? They know exactly what you're talking about and they watched it as well.
100%. And it's wild how quickly, like Jersey Shore, it aired. And within that first season, it was like the top rated reality show of all time. Like it just was like right away, this massive cultural moment, this huge hit. And it wasn't just our generation, although I do think the millennials, like we were the most obsessed with it for sure. But just like across the board, people loved it.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to speculate why people really liked it. Some of their like controversies or just like kind of like the darker side of the show. And then just what its impact has been on modern television. So the show was actually pitched as a male competition show of Guidos, which is really interesting because I don't think it would have worked as a competition show, and I don't think it would have worked if it was all guys. But this was pitched by a VH1 producer, Anthony Beltempo. And then some of these names probably sound familiar to people because they are like, they've had very successful careers. But one of the executive producers, Sally Ann Salsano, who worked on A Shot at Love at Tequila, which I was like, I had no business watching that at age 13.
I know.
But I watched every single, I was devastated when she didn't pick Danny. Like I literally.
Or like, did you watch Flavor of Love? Like what the fuck were we watching back then with Flava Flav?
Yes, yes. I was like, where were my parents? But like, it shaped me, obviously. But she was like, no, I actually think it should just be like watching them live their lives at the shore, because she had grown up going to a shore house. At the time of the show, the biggest thing on MTV was The Hills. And just thinking about the juxtaposition of The Hills to Jersey Shore is so wild.
It couldn't be more different, but also like the exact same concept.
Yeah, it's it really does. A lot of it hinges on looks, like across a room and stuff like that, or like awkward silences and stuff like that. But just thinking about how like 1 minute I'm like, I'm going to work at a fashion magazine in my, like, headband and pearls and, like, business casual. And then the next week being like, never mind, I'm going to wear Ed Hardy and, like, drink my fucking face off is so crazy.
No, it's so good. It's the early days, like, of reality TV. We just will never get that back, especially because there was no social media when these shows both launched. Like, can you imagine finding that much fame and success as an ensemble cast, too, which I think for Jersey Shore was so powerful because it made them – that's why they keep calling themselves, like, a family. And I imagine even with social media, you would kind of feel that way. But I think without social media, they couldn't have their own brands separate to the show and separate to each other, right? Because there was no way to really build that back then without Instagram and all the things that we have now. And so in those early seasons, all of the press that they did and all of the brands they were building had to be together. So they spent so much time together. They were literally living together, not just when they were in the Shore House or filming, but like year round doing all their press and everything, because everything hinged on them being this ensemble cast in a way that I think reality TV, even ensemble cast, don't kind of rely on anymore, because people just get a million Instagram followers and start building their own brand.
Yeah, that's so true. That's a really good point. I also just think that this set up for a show, like, obviously it's very real world, so it's not like it was like an innovative show in that sense, but it's very summer house coded. Yeah. I didn't think about that. I was like, they're the same show. It's a group of friends that like work and then party together and stay at a share house.
And it's also almost like an anthropological case study of like these niche subcultures. Yeah. Like summer house is all about like young people who are, you know, before they're going to move to the suburbs and have kids. It's like living in New York, working hard, playing hard, and what that's like when they go and have their summers in the Hamptons. But the show hinges on them having these like real world jobs in New York, even though like none of them have jobs anymore. Yeah. But, you know, at the time they did. Yeah. And same with Jersey Shore. It's literally like a case. It's like a look into this very niche subculture that really only exists in like the tri-state area in the U.S. And I think why it was so successful, because pre-social media, like, it wouldn't work the same now as it did back then, because before social media, like, you couldn't easily have a look into different cultures and different lifestyles around the world. Now it's like, if you want to see how, I don't know, a Guido lives, you just type it into TikTok and you'll see a million vlogs, you know?
That's a really good point about the subgenre of people, because like being on the west coast of Canada, it's like there is nothing like this. There's something about the like east coast relatability, the accents, the culture, the emphasis on family and community that just I had never seen of or heard of or seen depicted on TV. And it was so interesting. I think one of the other like kind of things that we forget is they had at the time no cell phones, internet, TV, except for one call on the fucking duck phone to their family. Like, do you remember they would have to pull out their little address books to like, and then to call whoever it was, or they would have to tell girls that they wanted to come over later, like,
yeah, like to booty call the house phone.
Yes.
I know.
Yes. Like, that's so wild. And I guess we get that with like The Bachelor and stuff like that, but like we could never just have this again, because even on Summer House, it's like they have access to everything, which sometimes dictates the plot of the show, like when Sam saw a Dumois blind about Corey and Malia, and then like it changed the trajectory of like the season.
Absolutely. I know. And I feel like one of the most magical parts of Jersey Shore is that, which I don't know if this is like well known, but Jenny recently, I think she might have said it on Nick Vile's podcast. I don't know. She said it recently because you know how they're kind of doing a little bit more press than they normally do right now because of Mike's book and then obviously Family Vacation, whatever. I think it was Nick Vile's podcast. She explained how the show initially worked. And part of the reason I think why it was so successful is they had no idea what they were walking into, which is the craziest thing. They didn't know what they were being cast for. I think because MTV didn't quite know what the show was going to be. So they literally picked however many cast members, people, and they put them in a hotel. They took away their, you know, I mean, I guess they probably did have cell phones, but probably not smartphones yet. They took away their phones, their access to outside. They basically had to tell their family, like, I'll either see you in a week or I will see you in, like, you know, 6 weeks or whatever. Talk to you then. And they were not told what they were going to be doing. And they basically were just told, you will either be sent to go film or you will be sent home in the next few days. And they did some, like, interviews, I think, while they were in the hotel room. But they were, like, it was like being on jury duty. They were, like, sequestered. And then Jenny said that they literally, you know, they said, okay, you're picked. And they just, like, put you in a car and drove them to this house and said, all right, you're, like, staying here for the next few weeks to film. Like, it's crazy that they didn't know what was happening.
And you could never get away with that nowadays. And you're right. Like, we'll just never have a show like this because everyone that wants to go on these shows is promoting something, whether that's, like, themselves or a different product. And then also, we have just more, like, ethical, I guess, like, labor laws.
Yeah.
Would prevent any of this from happening. Because sure. They literally didn't get paid for the first season of the show. They just made the money from the hours at the Shore store, which was $10 an hour. And then because it became such a success, they got paid for season two. And I think it started at, like, $10,000 per episode.
It's so wild. I remember so also crazy. Jenny saying that they went straight from filming season one to season two, I guess, where they went to Italy. Whatever season it was, they went to Italy.
Yes, yes, and yes.
She said two. There was no really no break. I can't quite line the timelines up because Mike also has said that, like, they filmed season one and it took them a long time to get it picked up. Like, it took about a year until it aired. So I don't quite understand how the timelines line up. But Jenny said that there was, like, some season that they filmed where they were doing it all together. And then they basically went straight from that season to the next season. They didn't realize it had aired and that they were so famous now until Barack Obama mentioned them in a speech. And then people, like a paparazzi, asked her on the street when they were filming Jersey Shore season two or three, like, how do you feel about Obama, like, mentioning Jersey Shore? And she was like, what the fuck? And she said that was the moment when she realized, oh my God, we're, like, actually famous.
That is so wild. I wonder if that was the Miami season, because I do remember that because they filmed in Jersey in the summer and then Miami was like, oh, we're going to escape the Jersey winter. Right. So I wonder if that's where they did it back to back. I also was just thinking, it's so wild to jump to Italy in season two when you're just creating the premise of the show.
Yeah.
And, like, the setting was so important to the show. So, like, yeah, it's just wild kind of, like, how loosey-goosey this was for, like, again, the biggest show on TV at the time.
Yeah, they really had no idea what the fuck they were doing. But, like, that's what was amazing. No one knew. Like,
yeah,
there was no,
really no one knew.
Regulations. There was no fucking plan. There was so, in the early seasons, there was so little, I feel, storyline manipulation. It was so authentic.